Unity in the church happens in many of the same ways that good marriages grow and sustain themselves over time. A good marriage doesn't stay strong and last over the long haul on accident. It takes commitment, grace, and mercy. What makes a good marriage at 2 years is different than what takes to make a strong marriage 25 years in. And individuals that make up strong marriages learn how to adapt together, to navigate their way that even as things change around them, even as they grow as individuals, they still find a way to stay together. I want you to think about a marriage that maybe you know. It could be your own, it could be somebody else's, but one that's lasted at least 25 years or more, that has been healthy over the long haul. For the marriage that you've thought of, is anyone aware of a couple that has made it the distance in their marriage without having to do any work at that marriage? No, it takes works. It takes, as I've talked about, grace and mercy. So we have an understanding that in the closest and most intimate relationship that most of us have in this life, that in order for those sort of relationships to go the long haul, that they need attention in work in order for them to be successful. Knowing that in some seasons they take more work than others, I want us to kind of really keep closely this idea of marriage and unity in the church close together today. Because perhaps you find yourself where I was for a number of years, where I assume that a healthy church is one that just should be united, in that relationships between 100 or 200 people in Christian community should just happen naturally because we love God so much. But if the closest of marriages between just two people take work and attention over the years, then shouldn't we also expect that our churches will need similar investments in work from each of us in order for it to be all that God intends it to be? And so this morning we find the Apostle Paul's words. He was one of the most influential Christians in the early church. The majority of the New Testament letters came from Paul's hands. He wrote them to both communities and individuals. We see in the book of Acts that many of the chapters are devoted to Paul's life, ministry, and story. And even though I read my Bible regularly in high school, I studied the scriptures in my work at Roberts Wesleyan, when I saw Christians not getting along or churches that lacked unity, I assumed that this was something that we had invented more recently in the history of the church. In my view, the early Christians had it all right, and it wasn't until sometime in recent history, way into the future, that Christians started messing it up. Then in my first year in seminary, I took church history, and we were looking closely at Acts 15. I had read Acts 15 many times, but for whatever reason, it wasn't until this day that it really hit me. That even in the early church, there were times in which the Christians, and not just regular Christians, but these were the apostles, did not always get along and had arguments about what it meant to be together and to be the church. And after my revelation of the Apostle Paul and his argument with the other apostles, I've since seen the pages of the New Testament through different eyes, understanding and seeing the way that the writers are often addressing Christians who need some work and some help and some guidance on the relationships with each other. For some reason, coming to this understanding that it isn't just the modern church that struggles with being united gave me hope that we today could be as close to Jesus in the work that he calls Christians to be about in this world as the early church was to that mission into the person of Christ. And so one of the reasons that I take the time to open with these thoughts as we think about unity today is that we might open our hearts more fully to 1 Corinthians 12, knowing that Paul isn't simply writing to or from an ideal church that was never in conflict. Paul knew what it was to wrestle with other apostles over matters related to spreading the gospel. In fact, later in Acts 15, we're told that Paul and his ministry companion Barnabas, friends and partners in ministry, get into such a disagreement about whether or not they should bring along a younger disciple that they decide they need to part ways and go in different directions in ministry. In fact, throughout this very book of 1 Corinthians, Paul addresses a number of conflicts leading up to chapter 12. These words are not some mushy, romantic solution to Christian unity from a church that already had it all figured out. Paul is writing to a community that, amongst other things, finds Christians going to court suing each other. I already mentioned that we have Wednesday night dinner starting up this week. Thank God we don't have the issues that the Corinthians had. Paul, in the chapter right before this, is writing to those that as they gather for community meals, some are getting drunk and gorging themselves. This is a Christian community, while others go home hungry with nothing to eat. So, again, these are not just sentimental words. Paul is really working to help folks who are wrestling with what it means to be a community in the name of Jesus to flesh some of these things out. So let us with humble hearts open ourselves more fully to God's word today and what it might have to say with us. So as Paul begins these verses that we've already heard today, in these first few verses, he's beginning to emphasize that all the good we do as Christians is connected to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we'll see that as a recurring theme throughout these verses, that it's the Holy Spirit that journeys with us, that works in our hearts to make us who we are and to lead us to what God knows we can become. And in fact, in verse 3, Paul goes as far as to say that we can't even say Jesus is Lord except by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So something as simple as that is the work in the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So then as he gets into verses 4 through 6, we see that even in the ways that we are different, the reminder that we are all connected to each other because of the Spirit's work. And so I want us to hear these verses again. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And so we see here in these verses that no matter what role or gifts that we have, that everyone in the church, in the ministry that we have for the world, each and every person has importance because it's the same God in the same Spirit that calls us to use those and to be about that work. People being different and bringing different things to the table isn't a sign that the church is broken. This is the gift of God. So it's important for us to consider how do we live out those differences as we come together in Christian community. And so this is where we begin to see in verse 7 a key to helping us open our hearts for each of our roles and how we should approach our interaction with Christian community. Verse 7 says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." So we heard in those last group of verses that I read for us that the Spirit intends to, on purpose, bring different people with different gifts together. so that each of us can contribute in a different way. And here we see that our service to the church isn't simply about personal fulfillment. I do think that's something that we've brought to our Christian experience in more recent days, is that everything that we do in life should make us happier and should be for our own benefit. And we see here that the way that the Spirit is working through each of us is meant for the common good. God works in our lives that we would then build into others' lives, that we would contribute something bigger than ourselves. And so if we go back to this analogy of marriage, we know that this is important in strong relationships. That the best marriages and families aren't the ones where people are simply looking out for themselves and what they can get out of it, but when each piece contributes to making the whole thing as good as it can be. Strong relationships take people working for the good of others, as well as making room for others to use those gifts. You might be aware that the national football season starts off today, and the owners of the Buffalo Bills, Tim and Terry Pegula, it seems that they have some understanding of this. As I've read some articles about the way that they partner together, and particularly Kim, wife, takes a lot of leadership with the sports team, and if Terry was trying to do that just simply from his business work, he wouldn't have time to do all that he does. And so they seem to work together very well to complement their gifts, to be able to do far more than if it were just one of them saying they were going to take the lead. They work together. As we get back into this morning's scripture, the next few verses lifts some specific ways that God was gifting people differently in the life of the church in Corinth. And if Paul were writing this letter to us in Bergen today, the list would look differently. It would include some of the ways that the Spirit has blessed you for ministry. So for instance, see things that have to do with music or talents around organization or teaching, praying for others, repair work, being a listening ear, showing compassion and hospitality, having a sense of humor. These are just some of the few ways that we see so many here gifted and called to the work for the good of others at Bergen United Methodist. I can't say it any better than Paul says it in verse 11 when he talks about the way that our gifts should and could come together. He says, all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and the Spirit distributes them to each one just as He is determined. And so God has made you who you are. God has brought you here with what you have to offer, and those things are meant to come together. And so each of us needs to value the way that God has gifted us as an individual to support the church. We shouldn't be jealous of the gifts that somebody else has if they're different than the ones that we have, and yet we also should encourage and support others in the use of their gifts as well. So begin to bring this to a close today. I want us to hear again verses 12 and 13, which kind of begin a new section in this chapter that begin to talk about the different parts of the body and how we all come together to work for the one. But these, I think, bring together some of these ideas of unity in the gifts that God has given, which are different for all of us. So again, those verses are, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and when we were all given the one Spirit to drink. It is God's plan that we would each be different within the church. And as we use our differences in a way that works towards the common good of who God is leading us to be as a community, We find that we will grow in unity even in the midst of those differences. We have to trust that the Spirit is at work in differences. Our vision statement that we have already heard today is a picture of what God is calling us to be. It's not who we already are. It starts with the phrase, united in Christ. We are not there yet, but by the work of the Spirit and the openness to Him, we can find ourselves growing closer and closer to that. My hope and prayer for us today is that these words and these thoughts might both contribute to the good of all of our relationships, not just within the church. Maybe there's some things that would spark you to think about your marriage or other close relationships. But certainly as we reflect on who God has made us to be, I don't think it's an accident that Scripture refers to the church as the bride of Christ. And so just in the same ways that it takes work for us to grow in intimacy, to grow close to the one that we are closest to, it'll take work for us in the midst of our differences to find ourselves growing closer to each other and to God within this community.